You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Look like a little country. Some rock and roll and blues. Cause we sure love playing for good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
Welcome to Music Local and Sustainable, the radio show that features discussions with and the music of local musicians. I am your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I have Skip Jennings and Jerry Stinger of the band The Fractions. The Fractions will be performing at the First Friday for Folk Music Concert on Friday, February 6th at the First Presbyterian Church, Stewart Hall, 520 Washington Avenue, Savannah. The concert will have two sets from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Welcome to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, Skip Jennings and Jerry Stinger.
Thank you, Dave. It's good to be here.
Appreciate it. So let's get to know the two of you. Let's start with Jerry. Tell me your musical journey. How did you become interested in music?
Interested in music from childhood, like everybody. Playing music, a late bloomer. I really didn't start playing music till I met Skip in law school and our friend Ward up in near Atlanta. And they were very patient with me. They were already excellent musicians and singers. Then took it from there, grew, played in the church folk choir where I go. That helped me grow, played in a couple of Irish bands in the meantime. And we've been doing The Fractions now for the last couple of years and very happy doing it.
And what do you play?
Play mandolin with The Fractions. Guitar is my bass instrument, but we have two outstanding guitar players in the band. And I figured just add a little mandolin is perfect.
So you learned to play the guitar in law school?
Yeah, very late. My brother was ahead of me in that regard, and he was younger than me. You really need to start playing guitar when you're 8, 9, or 10, and I started at 22, 23, so I've been playing catch-up ever since then.
Where did you go to law school?
Mercer. We both went to the Walter F. George School of Law at Mercer University, and we both were in the class of 1986.
That's right.
And Ward was in that class, too. So, and we all met that first semester of law school. That's the semester where you don't know whether you're actually ever going to become a lawyer or not.
if you'll survive.
Yeah. And we had a great time living in Macon for that 3 years. I mean, you know, I'm a huge Allman Brothers fan, too. And there I am, you know, in the Massey. The building next door is where the cover of the first album was shot. The building two doors down was where they were all living when they very first went to Macon in 1969. Dwayne's old apartment was around the corner. Down the street was Rose Hill Cemetery, where a number of other album covers were shot. And, of course, Dwayne and Barry at the time were buried there. I loved living in Macon. That was a lot of fun.
And was it simply a band that you were setting up in law school, or was it just people sitting around playing?
Well, I wasn't quite good enough. Now, Skip and our friend Ward, I mentioned, they started playing out, and I did not really join them until, you know, a few years later after I'd moved here to Savannah. And then we started jamming and eventually formed Massey Boys with our friend Ward. And Ward would drive down here, and we gigged around here a little bit. That's where I came more into the live gigging and playing out. That in addition to the Irish bands I've been in.
So Irish bands? Why Irish bands?
I don't know. I just sort of fell into it. With our local church and school scene, you know, with my daughter being eventually an attendee at local Catholic schools, the Irish culture here in Savannah is just huge. Back when we were starting out the Massey Boys, we started it mainly with visits from Ward and our friends coming down here St. Patrick's Day, so it just sort of fell into that. And I've always had an interest in traditional Irish music, the singing, the jigs and the reels. I can play a few jigs and reels still on the mandolin and sing a few old drinking songs.
Skip, you've been playing for quite a while.
Yeah, for me, it goes back to February of 1964. when I was 8 years old and saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. And there was so much joy in what we were doing, and it seemed something like that's what I want for my life there. I want to be like that. Took up guitar soon after and would pick it up, put it down for a period of a few years. We were living in New York then, and we moved to Savannah in September of 1970. And, you know, for the first couple of years, I really didn't have many friends. And so I took that opportunity to get back into the guitar, you know, fairly heavily. It just went from there. I mean, I started performing in bars and when I was in college. Then later on in law school, we were in this apartment building called the Massey. And Ward was on the 8th floor, I was on the 5th floor, and we quickly found each other and started playing together and realized we had a number of other things in common, too. And before long, you know, our situation was we'd study until about 10 or 11 at night, and then we'd say, we're going to put the books down, we're going to get out our guitars. And that was really the start of the Massey Boys, which, you know, we've been playing together for 37, 38 years now.
Right.
The problem for the Massey Boys is that, of course, Ward lives south of Atlanta, down near Noonan, Georgia. You know, so that restricts our ability to play together and to do many gigs and things like that. So eventually, Jerry and I became part of the Midtown Pickers, which I used to play over at Coffee Deli and now we're at Cohen's Retreat every Wednesday night. And groups started just forming out of all that. I started doing some stuff with Tommy Holland and Skip Hindley, which was the Telfair Babies, and then that became the Skipples when it was just Skip Hindley and me. And then eventually the Fractions formed, which was really started by Jerry and me as a vehicle for us to just do performances. And the original idea was, well, look, we'll just have this group called the Fractions. It'll be you and me, and, you know, we'll just get other people to help us on individual gigs. And then it turned into something else, you know, because Dan Cooper joined us, Dean Burnett joined us, Miguel De Jesus joined us. It's just been the five of us now for almost 3 years. And it's really turned into something bigger than what we thought it was going to be originally. Not that we're that big or anything, but, you know, it's become more of a permanent thing. We practice every week, and we've been getting more and more gigs. We just started playing down at Plant Riverside on River Street, too. And so for us, you know, the Fractions has become just a really great thing. I mean, we've got a bigger and bigger repertoire all the time and more gigs. I mean, we've done about 5 gigs this month, I think it is, which is really much more than we used to ever play. And just having a great time doing it. All the guys in the group, we all fit in together. We're all good friends. And the mixture of things, you know, we have Dean on the bass. You know, I'm playing a 6-string guitar. Jerry's playing the 8-string mandolin, Dan Cooper's playing a 12-string guitar, you know, and all of those things together, there's a depth and a richness to the sound because, you know, we have so many different kinds of instruments playing, and our vocals, too. Jerry, Dan, and I do most of the singing, and we've really been working on the harmony stuff and just having a great time doing it, and it gets better and better all the time.
And Miguel's percussion is just great.
And so the Fractions, where did it get its name?
Well, initially, the very first Fractions gig was just Jerry, Tommy, and me. And there was a debate about whether we were even going to have a name or we were just going to do the gig without a name. But I came up with this idea, well, look, we are 2/3 of the Telfair Babies, half of the Skipples, 2/3 of the Massey Boys, 1/5 of the Savannah Cayley Band. You know,
that's my Irish group.
And other things. It's like we're fractions of all these other groups, so we just decided to call ourselves the Fractions.
And so what is the type of music that you play?
We're all over the place. That's one of the best things about the group, too. Of course, we're all in our 60s. Jerry's the baby of the group. He's 61. You know, I'm going to turn 67 in a couple weeks. I think Dan is probably the oldest one in the group.
The senior member.
Yeah. But we're all in our 60s. So naturally, we play a lot of music that we grew up loving, like Beatles stuff and other 1960s sort of stuff. I mean, we do a lot of that stuff. And also, so much of the music from that period, too, gives you so many wonderful opportunities to do things like harmony singing and such, you know. So we do a lot of that, but we do other things. So we do crazy stuff. I mean, we do a lot of old country music. We do a lot of Hank Williams, George Jones, Tammy Wynette, Patsy Cline, you know, a lot of that stuff too. And then we do a lot of old pop music too. I mean, even like Dean Martin's That's Amore. Other things from the 40s and 50s, some Duke Ellington and some other stuff. Our repertoire is only limited by our imagination, in a way.
And so, what does some people call you?
Well, one of the first comments we heard backstage at First Friday for Folk Music was by a wonderful local musician, Judy Williams, a friend of ours, too. And she came up afterwards and said, I got to tell you, y'all blew my mind because of the varied repertoire. Another person, Scott Alexander, a great local musician. This was after one of our very recent gigs. And again, we were all over the place with our set list, even movies and TV themes. We do those things too as well. Gets good laughs. He said, man, I really like what you guys are doing. You have a strange genius. I said, that's an album title, Skip.
Yeah.
Strange genius. He meant it as a complete compliment.
We often do the unexpected.
No one expects that.
Yeah.
What sort of inspired this very eclectic mix? Does everybody bring ideas to the band? Or?
To a degree, yes. I mean, you know, it really is more reflective of the point that we all have broad tastes in our music. Anyone who's been listening to radio in Savannah for, you know, over the last 50 years. I mean, I've done all different kinds of radio stuff on Savannah. I started off on WSGA and WSGF back in the early 70s, and then I was doing the hard rock show Alpha Omega on WZAT for several years in the mid-70s, and then eventually worked on WSVH for many years, playing jazz and classical and opera on the radio. And sometimes you get one of those gigs and it's not like you really know what you're doing when you go in there, but it gives you a great opportunity to experiment with different stuff and learn about. I mean, I learned about classical music in large point because being on the radio at WSVH. You know, I knew a little bit more about jazz when I went there, and I started off there as a jazz announcer there in 1981. But over time, you said, well, I've heard of this guy. Let's see what this sounds like. And you put on, and gradually your knowledge of an area expands and expands and expands. That happened to me personally, too, at home. You know, you'd be in a record store, so let's try this record. So, yeah, I mean, we have very broad tastes, and that's true of all of us. And so because of that, we like to try different sort of stuff, maybe play something from, you know, 50s pop, but more in a 60s style or something. That's where it all comes from.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I have Skip Jennings and Jerry Stinger of the band The Fractions. And so take me through a rehearsal in terms of how you're coming up with, I presume it's during rehearsals that people bring in new songs and you start working on them.
In part, you know, sometimes they start at the Midtown Picker sessions because, you know, everyone brings a few songs to play and we go around the room and around the room. I may say, oh, this would be a good song for us to do. So I'll learn it and bring it to the Midtown Picker session and play it there. The entire band is not at every Midtown Picker session, but, you know, often there'll be at least two or three or four of us there at one of the sessions, and we'll try it there at the Midtown Picker session. And then, yeah, that could work, you know, and then we'll bring it back to the following Sunday's rehearsal session and start working on it there. Often, if you're the person putting forward the song, you'll have printouts of the music and lyrics and everything for everyone to pass out to everyone at the rehearsal session, and we start working on it there. But often we may start working on a song, you know, maybe this coming weekend I'll bring a song to a rehearsal. It may be 4 months before we actually play that publicly because we want to play them over and over and over again because you need to do that. First off, to nail the harmonies and the instrumental nuances of the song, play it again and again and again and again so that when you do play it, everyone's locked in on what the song is supposed to be. Now, that gets frustrating for people because we played this song. Let's do it live. And I said, no, we need to play it a bunch more times so that we have it totally nailed and are ready to play it in public like a band should, like you really know the song.
Let's go back to Midtown Pickers because people may not be familiar with Midtown Pickers. Talk a little bit about what it is and what you do there.
Well, it started in July of 2013. What it was that there was a jam session on Sunday evenings out at Doc's Bar out on Tybee. And they would just be in a circle, and they'd go around the circle, and everyone play a song, and then go around the circle again and again. And there were a few guys from in town here who went out there. But, you know, going out to Tybee on a Sunday night is not something everyone who lives in town can do every week.
No.
And so Coffee Deli had just opened up in Habersham Village, and Tommy Holland was talking to the folks there and said, well, what if we had one of those jam sessions here, but let's do it on Wednesday night? And they usually closed at 6, but they said they'd stay open till like 9:30 or so on a Wednesday night so we could have these jam sessions there. And so the first one actually was like July 31st of 2013. And, you know, when we did that, we didn't know there was going to be a second night, but everyone had a great time, and people started showing up there, you know, and we were doing well with it. So it just kept going on. Eventually, this was really a casualty of the COVID thing, that they had trouble staffing the place, and because of that, they couldn't stay open on Wednesday nights anymore because, that, you know, that was not part of their regular hours. And so we understood that that was the first part that had to be cut. And so we, you know, wandered around a little bit, played in Hull Park a little while and some other places, and then hooked up with the folks at Cohen's Retreat over on Skidaway at Bacon Park Road there. And they said, sure, come here and you can play here every Wednesday night. We'd love to have some music here. And so that started about a year and a half ago, been at Cohen's Retreat. And it's worked out very well. I mean, lots of parking there, and I mean, there's a bar in there and a restaurant. And so we have a great time. We sit either in the art tank or the clubhouse at Cohen's Retreat. And, you know, we have a nice circle of folks, and we all still play our music there. And actually, we're not having one this week, but starting back with the 28th, we'll be back at Cohen's Retreat and every Wednesday again, and for the foreseeable future.
And non-musicians, welcome to come listen. You don't have to be a musician to attend.
No charge. Just come on in and pull up a chair and enjoy the music. I mean, we've had a lot of regular folks over the years. It's been a real fun thing, you know, for the last, actually, next July will be 10 years we've been doing it.
Wow. So.
There's a variety of different styles here in Savannah. I mean, the music that you hear is very varied. And I presume then that the particular performers there at the Wednesday sessions are as varied as the music here is in Savannah.
Oh, yeah. Now, I'll say this. The players at the Midtown Pickers tend to be people more in our age group, probably,
right.
I would say. I mean, we don't have a lot of, you know, guys in their 20s there.
But they're welcome.
Yeah, and we have had some over the years. But just the way it works out, most of them are more like, you know, our age group. But we'd love to have more young people come and do their thing there. You know, the idea is that everybody can get better, and you get better by playing songs publicly over and over again and you know, hone your own performance style. And that's what we want out of these jam sessions. And again, it's been very gratifying to see the various groups that have formed out of the Midtown Pickers over time. Not all of them last particularly long, but some do. Again, it's just another thing to spur people to become as good as they can become at playing and singing and performing. And again, that's what we want.
And so do most of the folks play out in other venues?
I would say not. I'd say of the percentage, and this is just the roughest of guesses, probably only about 25-30% have actually played out, because we're welcome to everybody, and that's varying levels of talent. You know, I consider myself maybe about the middle of the pack. We have some expert players and singers, and we have beginners, and then we have people who we call the stylists. They have their own style. We want people, like Skip says, to improve, to hone their craft, because it's fun. I would consider it like your golf game or your tennis game. I mean, everybody wants to get better. And one way you get better with your golf or your tennis is you play with people who are better than you are. That's how I benefited very early on playing with Skip and Ward back in law school, as they were very patient with me. And I was playing with better people. And they sharpened their own skills against each other, and they got even better. That's the basic thing about how many people. You know, the Fractions are probably the most active, but I'm fairly certain I know all the other bands that have come out of the Pickers, and we're getting some gigs, but there have been other great bands that have come out of the Pickers as well, but it's not everybody that comes to the jam session.
But again, a lot of those folks, though, just coming to the Wednesday night jam sessions and playing a song in front of people, you know, they're improving too, and maybe someday they will be doing something more publicly.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah.
And so getting back to the Fractions and getting back to the evolution of tunes that are done by the Fractions, you mentioned that you would bring something to this Wednesday night session.
Mm-hmm.
First, you'd have the idea, you know, maybe this would be a good piece for the Fractions to do. So you rehearse it, you bring it then to the session. Now, do you tend to then perform alone at those, or do other people join in at the same time?
Well, that's one of the funny things about the Midtown Pickers, is that there are a lot of different ways of doing jam sessions. Now, you know, like there's a jam session out at Tybee these days, too, in their arts community thing.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Monty Parks, who's a councilman out at Tybee, he runs that jam session. And I think a lot of the times, you know, it's kind of like, okay, guys, this one is in G. And, you know, it's sort of an invitation for everybody to play along on it. You can do that at the Midtown Pickers, too. But that's not the way most of us choose to do it. For me, when I get, unless my guys that I'm playing with all the time, often I really don't want a lot of other people playing on the songs I'm presenting, because I'm really trying to hone my own performance of it. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you get people with cajones and other instruments, and they start, you know, going away at it, and sometimes it can be distracting.
Some of the beginners we were talking about are very exuberant in their beginnerhood.
And we love to see the fact that they're developing a love of performing music, but please don't play on my song. You know? And that's just the way it goes a lot of the time, you know. But, you know, if Jerry is there, if Dan is there, if Dean is there, Miguel, usually I'll invite them to play along with me if they feel comfortable playing along with this song yet. They may say, okay, I'm just going to listen to this song tonight and make sure I get what it's all about.
Right.
And then we'll start playing it together at our next rehearsal session or something like that.
And then we take it from there at the rehearsal.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I have Skip Jennings and Jerry Stinger of the band The Fractions. Other members of The Fractions, when they're there, bring songs that they think will be future Fractions songs.
Possibly. I mean, you know, the main singers in The Fractions are Jerry and Dan and me. Now, Dean Burnett plays a few songs, too. Often, we'll be sitting there listening to a song that Dean is playing, and he's playing it solo, more or less. And we say, that would be a good one for us to add for another Dean song for him to sing.
Right.
The next Fractions gig, perhaps. So, yeah, I mean, it comes in different ways, you know. We had to go to Coach's Corner for a few weeks during the summer because they were having some renovations done at Cohen's Retreat. And Dan played a song there. It was the Beatles' Lady Madonna. Yeah. And, you know, that's not the song you generally think of. If I wanted to do a Beatles guitar song, well, that's not one, because that's a piano song. But Dan found a way of doing it on guitar that really captured the essence of the song. And in a way that we listened to his version and said, no, that is something we could do.
Dan is our guitar wizard. He creates riffs and structures of songs that I certainly can't imagine, and just brings them to life.
For instance, we do the Beatles' In My Life from the Rubber Soul album. And, you know, that has a harpsichord solo in the middle of it. Dan has created a guitar solo that sounds just like the harpsichord solo on the record. It's kind of like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, we have to do that. And so, you
Amazing.
Know, the one song we love playing now is because of Dan has figured out how to take this song with a harpsichord solo and make it a guitar solo. It sounds like the harpsichord solo. These are some of the things that, you know, people have just not heard other folks do like this. We haven't done the Lady Madonna one live yet, but we're going to soon. And it's going to
be great.
Yeah, and it's going to be one that blows people's minds and stuff like that, because it's
strange genius.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I understand that there is a performance coming up on Friday, January 6th.
Yep.
And that might be a good environment to try something like that out.
Quite possibly. We'll have to, again, my feeling is that we may know the song, but to have it where we really know it takes repetition. I don't know if we'll have enough repetition between now and January 6th, but we can try that, you know. And of course, you know, for these gigs, you know, we love playing for the Folk Music Society. These First Friday for Folk things are wonderful, and it's different than performing in a bar or, you know, on River Street or something like that, because when you play in a bar, you know, people are having conversations and there's groups of them together and everyone's drinking and all this stuff. And it's wonderful and there's a lot of energy in it. But when we play the First Friday for Folk things, you know, it's people who are sitting there in a chair watching us. They're not having a conversation with whoever's next to them or across the way. They're not knocking back some drinks or anything like that. They're just sitting there watching us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different kind of atmosphere. And because of that, you can play other things at the First Friday for Folk stuff that you wouldn't play in a bar necessarily.
Quieter things.
Yeah,
you know,
things that deserve more attention to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's one of the reasons why we love doing these First Friday for Folk things, because it's just a different type of experience when you're playing, more like a concert. In fact, we call them the First Friday for Folk concerts. I don't know if the Folk Music Society uses the word concert in it or not, but that's the way we feel about it. It is more like a concert.
Yeah, I use the term concert.
Yeah.
We have a PSA about it, and I definitely use the word concert. When you're developing, then, a set list for a bar gig, let's say you're out at the tent out there on Plant Riverside and doing a gig out there versus doing a gig, say, at the Folk Music Society, which is much more concert-oriented. What goes through your mind when you're setting up a set list?
Energy. For something that's outside and something that's in a more social setting like that, the set list has to have a lot of energy in it. You know, and so we'll do a lot of sort of rock and roll songs, you know, our own versions of them. And, you know, whether it's something like Roy Orbison's Oh Pretty Woman or all the Beatles or Rolling Stones stuff we do, too, and things like that.
And the Motown stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we're all over the place still, wherever we are. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing something more like the First Friday for Folk Concerts, you know, you can put a lot more, not necessarily low energy, but quieter things, more nuanced things that you would expect people to, you know, listen to them on more than when you're just rocking it out in outdoors or in a bar. And of course, this is something found in other areas too. I mean, I've been involved with the Savannah Jazz Festival since 1987. I've been emceeing it for that many years and been a part of the group that, you know, decide on the artists and put them together. You really don't want to do a low-energy, sort of reflective kind of thing outdoors like that. If you're doing something outdoors, like if we're planning for the jazz festival on the band shell in Forsyth Park, the bands we have to present there have to put out a bunch of energy, or it just doesn't work. It's just not the atmosphere for quiet listening. Again, there'll be people out there. People have their picnics out there, and they'll be having some beer or some wine or whatever, and they'll be talking with their friends and stuff. If it's not a high-energy group on the stage, they're going to get ignored. And it's the same thing for us. You know, if we're playing down at Plant Riverside, you know, it has to be a gig with energy. All the songs need to be bringing that energy. You could bring something a little more quiet periodically as a contrast, but what you really want to do is present a performance with lots of energy.
And what I've wanted to do with First Friday for Folk Music is it's been the perfect opportunity for me to expose some of my attempts at songwriting. I started dabbling in that a couple years ago. And that's the thing at first at the Midtown Pickers is Skip and the guys will hear, I'll do one of my originals at the jam session, and they'll say, that has great band potential. We can hear the harmonies that we can do with that. And First Friday is the perfect opportunity to do that. And I've been a late bloomer with the songwriting. I only started writing songs about 6 or 7 years ago, and I'm 61. You can do the math now. With a concert setting, people very receptive. You hear a lot of originals from acts at the First Friday thing. It's been very welcoming to a newbie at this thing. It's been very exciting.
Well, that brings up another question, and that is originals. How many originals do you put into a set? And let's use the First Folk Friday event as an example of a concert event, because the rule of thumb here in Savannah is that it is a tourist town, and therefore you play covers. The rare, rare original you can sneak in, but generally you play covers.
Well, that's interesting, because, you know, Jerry has about a half dozen originals that we do in one form or another, either in the Massey Boys or the Fractions. You know, I've got maybe three that I'll perform publicly, but I don't really like doing that. The thing always with Jerry and me about, well, let's play your song again. I'd rather play a Beatles song. You know? Yeah. And that's true, you know, because I just, you know, that music is so special to me. You know?
I'm not shy about my originals. I like doing
it. But in the standard of the Beatles, of course, did you see the Get Back movie? You know, there's sort of a running theme through that George only wants to do his originals. Jerry is our George.
But to your point about how much we sprinkle in, I'm perfectly aware I'm not John or Paul or George. So about two originals per set, sometimes one. The audience has been very kind. I've had some great receptions to some of my originals. But you don't want to overwhelm them with the Jerry show. No. I like what we're doing, a large mix of the covers, the occasional originals sprinkled in to the set list. That's perfectly fine for me. I don't want to hog the spotlight.
But also, the thing to remember in considering putting originals in our sets is Do they fit in otherwise?
Right.
You know? Does the music of those originals blend in and sound like a seamless whole in effect?
It must blend
in. There's a bunch of Jerry's originals we don't do.
No.
You know? And then there's that we do. Yeah, I mean, but as long as they blend in and sound at least somewhat similar to the type of music we're doing. You
know? I do that. I was very heavily influenced, not only by the Beatles, but by classic 60s pop, where melody was king. And one of the best compliments I ever heard is from a dear friend of ours, Michelle Kelly, who's come to the jam session. She said, "Jerry, some of your originals I could really hear on the radio because I just love melody." And that's where I hope when I get the A-OK from the band, especially from Skip at the jam session, that's Fraction's material, is that Skip is seeing that it blends with the repertoire that we do.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the American Traditions Collection of Concerts, including the American Traditions Competition Week, featuring 24 of the top singers from around the country from February 16th to the 20th in quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals competitive rounds at Victory North, 2603 Whitaker Street, Savannah. More information and tickets are available at www.atcsavannah.org. This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for four centuries of great music, with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I have Skip Jennings and Jerry Stinger of the band The Fractions. The Fractions will be performing at the First Friday for Folk Music Concert on Friday, February 6th at the First Presbyterian Church, Stuart Hall, 520 Washington Avenue, Savannah. The concert will have two sets from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m.,
so let's get into the sound that The Fractions likes to present. And since we're really talking about the upcoming Friday Folk Music Concert that's coming up on January 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Presbyterian Church, Stuart Hall, I'm getting this vibe that melody is king with The Fractions. And so let's go through some of the things that you might consider would be in a first set, would be in a second set, how you would go through them, how you'd blend from song to song.
Skip.
I would say first off that we don't really consider ourselves to be a folk music group in the sense, but we have some of that sensibilities of the folk rock era of the 60s. So we do several numbers by the Byrds. Since Dan has his 12-string there, you know, we get that sort of jangly Roger McGuinn 12-string Rickenbacker kind of sound, even though he's not playing a Rickenbacker, but
right off the bat.
for that, we'll try and focus on some things that at least have some of those sensibilities to them. There's still got to be energy at different parts, but not to the same focus that we would have, like, on River Street or something like that. And we try and play a few serious songs in our sets there. But anytime you're putting together a set list for a show you're doing, I mean, it has to have an ebb and flow to it. You have some high energy numbers and you have some numbers that are more reflective and more quiet, more, you should, you know, listen to this. You know,
serious versus funny, perhaps.
Yeah. One of our things, too, is that we just have a lot of fun on stage. Robin Gunn was writing about us in Savannah Connect one time. Well, this was actually the Massey Boys. She was saying this about.
But it applies to us.
Yeah, it applies to the Fractions. She said that the only people who have more fun than the audience at a Massey Boys concert is the Massey Boys themselves. You know, because you know, there's a lot of banter back and forth, joking back and forth, and sometimes, you know, prodding to each other. But it's just because we are having so much fun when doing this.
A lot of kidding back and forth. Yeah. We crack each other up.
No, we have a great time with it every time we're together. And, you know, it's something we've said about the Massey Boys many times, too, that, you know, if something happened and we couldn't play music together anymore, we'd still be hanging out together. You know, most good bands, in my view, most good bands are a brotherhood, too. And that's certainly become true of the Fractions very quickly.
Absolutely.
When you have that feeling about it, again, it's so much easier to banter back and forth on stage and tell our jokes and stuff like that. So we're working on the set list for the First Friday thing right now, because when we have our next rehearsal, you know, we want to start working on those set lists. You know, when we have a gig coming up, our rehearsals often are just going over the songs for the next performance. If we don't have a performance coming up fairly soon, then our rehearsals tend to focus on either working on songs that we are close to being ready to play, just need to play them some more still, or introducing entirely new material to the band, too.
Yeah.
But we're always looking to add more stuff in there. There are times when you need a song for a special occasion. Like, we did a gig for something called the Traffic Club a couple weeks ago. It's sort of like how the Propeller Club is the maritime industry civic group. The Traffic Club is like the logistics side of it for truckers and stuff like that. So we figure, okay, we're playing for a trucking group. Well, we'll do 6 Days on the Road by Dave Dudley, you know, which is an old classic country song about truckers. And they were also involved in, you know, shipping. So we did Sea Cruise, the old Frankie Ford song from many, many years ago. And you know, we're always looking to add more of that stuff on, because we played for the Savannah Bar Association last week. And so we get out all of our legal songs then, like Tammy Wynette's D-I-V-O-R-C-E, or I Fought the Law and the Law Won.
Baby, and I feel so bad, you know, I guess my race is run. She's the best thing I've ever had. Well, I fought the law and the law won.
For our mediation friends out there, we played the Beatles, We Can Work It Out. We try and amass all those songs as part of our repertoire, too, so that when we have the opportunity to play a song that sort of works into our audience's business or whatever, we can do that. Again, that's part of the fun stuff of just saying, oh, this would be a good song to do for these type of gigs.
What is an example of a song that would fit only at a more concert-oriented gig?
Well, I would say the only ones we've done are First Friday for folk music. And those would be more like the singer-songwriter kind of things. And putting aside my originals, again, like I was saying, great opportunity to do that. But, you know, some of the quieter Bob Dylan things, just more of the singer-songwriter things.
And a song can be good for more than one purpose. You know, again, you can play it for one purpose at one gig and play the same song for a different purpose at another gig. Yeah.
And since you do such a wide variety of different genres, what goes into your mind in terms of trying to blend from genre to genre to genre?
I would say, you know, Skip is the dominant force, the primary force in creating the set lists, but it's almost kind of like, let's put as much variety out there. It's not so much, well, let's go from classic pop to a Beatles song to, well, let's start morphing into this stage. Let's go into 70s music. It's what song works best with the next one. You can speak to that.
And often that's contrasts, too.
Exactly.
So we did a soft song. Now we're going to do a high-energy song. And then we're going to throw them a curveball by playing this song or something. You know, one of our favorite things to do is we do this medley that starts off with the theme from the first Godfather movie. And then we go right from that into That's Amore, you know, the old Dean Martin song from the 50s. Again, they're similar in that they're both sort of Italian songs, but on the other hand, one is from a gangster movie and one is about love, and and they're just different, but it works. You know?
One is from a family movie.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
A family values movie.
Family values movie. Did you see the series that they did?
About the making of it? No, I have not seen that. No,
yeah.
I want to, though.
I don't know how much fiction and how much reality, but of the making of The Godfather that was done on, I want to say, Paramount Plus. Excellent. If you have a chance to see it, see it, because it is just mind-boggling what they went through to get that thing produced.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I got to see that.
Yeah. Godfather is one of those movies that if I'm ever channel surfing and, oh, The Godfather's on, stop channel surfing right there. I'm watching it to the end. Yeah.
And people respond to that when they hear us start out with The Godfather. You see all the light bulbs going off in their heads. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. And then they all sing along with That's Amore. But what's the latest medley? This is the very beginning stages. You brought these two songs up at this current rehearsal. They're disco songs.
David Bowie's Let's Dance merged with Chic's Good Times. You know, again, this is the idea that we'll probably play something very quiet right before this and maybe right after that. But in the middle here, we're doing this mashup of two songs from the 80s that were, you know, big in that era, and also give people an opportunity to dance some and release some of their energy.
And we're very fortunate to have, again, Miguel, our percussionist, who, as we like to say, he's a man of many toys. He has all these cool percussion devices. It almost seems like his rig has grown from just a couple pieces now to about, almost seems like a dozen. And he's the hardest physically working guy in the band. He's constantly moving and going between these percussion devices. And he's going to really drive those dance songs. He can really make it move.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I have Skip Jennings and Jerry Stinger of the band The Fractions. When you have four or five people on a stage, and that is not a huge stage that they have there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's relatively compact for four to five people.
At Stewart Hall?
Yeah.
Oh, it's much bigger than some of the stages we've been on. Okay.
Well, that's very up close and personal.
That's at the old Tybee Social Club, which is Camacho's now, and they've moved, and there's something else going in there. It's amazing the number of people they could get on that stage, which was just sort of a little corner thing. When you talk about percussion and all the percussion things that could be done, when you're going to a smaller stage, what does Miguel think of in terms of what he can bring?
Well, fortunately for us, Miguel doesn't play a regular standard trap set with a snare, a hi-hat, several cymbals, a couple of tom-toms, and then a floor tom or anything like that. He has a smaller setup. It's a stand that comes up and has all kinds of things hanging off of it. And he plays more like a conga head for his basic percussion. And he has a couple pedal things for more like bass drums.
My favorite.
Yeah. And then, you know, again, all these chimes and, you know, things that sound like cowbells or clip-clops.
He has a very small footprint, comparatively speaking.
Yeah.
We don't feel crowded at all.
Yeah. Problem for me is I need a table to keep all other stuff that I own.
All of your toys.
All of your toys?
There are songs where, you know, we have different percussion things that each of us play. I play the claves on some things, shakers on others. And
kazoos.
I even play a horn at the beginning of Sea Cruise there, you know.
And that's a wonderful addition. But don't forget the kazoos.
That's right. Sometimes we'll do harmonizing kazoos. Three-part harmony on kazoos or something.
Make sure that kazoo's in tune.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and speaking about movies, you mentioned The Godfather, but you also mentioned television shows. Some of the shows have lyrics. Do you do them with lyrics, or do you do simply the instrumental?
Both, to some degree. I mean, a lot of the TV themes will work in. Some would be like Green Acres, you know?
Yeah.
A theme song for All in the Family.
Yeah.
Or Moving On Up, The Jeffersons, Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
The Mickey Mouse Club theme song, you know,
yeah.
and things like
yeah.
this. I'll often say, you know this song, you may just not think of it as a song that you know, because yeah. Moving On Up, The Jeffersons, you know, you don't think of that as a record or something like that. You just, it was the theme song to The Jeffersons. We do it differently than the TV show theme was, but we still play it, and people love hearing it. Again, we'll see them all singing along with us, you know, but it's not something you just think of as a song, it's a TV show theme. We do a bunch of movie themes, too. We do several James Bond themes, only the ones that were from the Sean Connery movies, though. We don't do any of the Roger Moore ones or any of the others.
No Pierce Brosnan on that?
No, George Lazenby or anything yeah. like that. No, we only do the Sean Connery ones. So we do From Russia with Love, Goldfinger, Thunderball, and You Only Live Twice.
Those are fun. Yeah. Those are fun. We do the theme to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah, we do that, too. That's right, yeah.
Well, I was just thinking, you mentioned the theme for the Jeffersons, and some things have immediate relevance, because right now, here in Savannah, you can talk about deluxe apartments in the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because that's becoming very popular these days.
Mm-hmm. Never thought high-rises. Of it that way.
Yeah,
you're right.
High-rises all around
yeah.
town.
Yeah, you're right. It does have relevance.
Yeah. Just right over here is going to be an apartment building.
Oh, across from the police station.
And then down a couple more blocks on
Liberty and
East Broad.
Yeah, the old Atlanta Coastline building.
And on President Street, they're putting up that building where David's Dry Cleaner used to be.
Right.
And it's going to be not high-rise, but, you know, 4 or 5 stories for SCAD dorms or apartments or something.
Yeah. A deluxe apartment in the sky.
So, anything else we need to talk about?
Oh, we could go on and on.
Well, you know, I mean, as far as our perspective on things, the fractions are turning out to be what we originally hoped they would be. Not just a vehicle for Jerry and I to book gigs somewhere. I mean, it's become a more permanent band. And we rehearse regularly all the time, and all this is turning into... We've been discovered by some people, and we're getting more and more gigs.
Hopefully more.
This is what I'm looking forward to for retirement. You know? I'm still waiting for us to go on tour.
The Fractions on tour.
That's right.
Yeah, really.
Fractions across America.
We're going to have one of those school buses painted up like the Partridge Family.
Or like Ken Kesey or something like that.
That's probably the inspiration right there. Yeah.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I have been talking with Skip Jennings and Jerry Stinger of the band The Fractions. The Fractions will be performing at the First Friday for Folk Music Concert on Friday, February 6th at the First Presbyterian Church, Stuart Hall, 520 Washington Avenue. The concert will have 2 sets from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. And I want to thank you, Skip Jennings and Jerry Stinger, so very much for being on the show tonight.
Thanks for having us here. We had a blast.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable, and I've been your host, Dave Lake. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, it ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2.